Hey everybody, what's up? Welcome to another episode of the show, the Creative Insights Podcast. I'm your host, Mike. Welcome, and I'm very happy to be in your ears today. Here I chat with inspiring entrepreneurs, innovators, and hustlers who are doing big things online. And I help you achieve your dreams to become more effective online. Now, today we're gonna dive deep on creating online courses. And our guest today is an online course genius. His name is Paul Thomas, a 30-year-old Australian native who has built an online business empowering business owners to create and sell online courses. Specifically, he has helped dozens of entrepreneurs at all levels to share their expertise in the online space and scale their business and make money while they're at it. Well, Paul talks about the importance of online courses in today's digital landscape and leverage courses to grow a business. He also shares some best practices for getting started on the passive income track. Well, today, normal, everyday people are capitalizing on the rise of online courses and turning their knowledge into passive revenue-generating machines. Well, you can make a course about anything. You can start a course about cooking, traveling, web development. Well, there is no limit on what you can teach. And you're probably already teaching people now, and you don't even realize it. So the biggest challenge that people are facing is that people don't know where to start. Well, Paul has the answer, and he has an inspiring story, sharing a ton of value on how to start your online course. We got all of that coming right up. Without further ado, I'm going to introduce to you D. Paul Thomas. So here's the big question. How are creative entrepreneurs like us, who live in an ever-changing world, who need to keep up with all the latest trends and developments, how do we keep enjoying what we do to thrive and inspire others? That's the question, and this podcast will give you the answers. My name is Mike Reinhardt, and this is the Creative Insights Podcast. Hey, Paul, welcome to the show. Thank you so much for being here today. How are you doing?
Mike, thank you so much for the invite. I'm doing really well. It's a nice quiet day today at home, raining outside, getting a lot of work done. So, really looking forward to sitting down and chatting.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to share what you have built. I'm really curious to learn more about your journey. So can you tell something about how you started and why did you start doing this business in building online courses and actually teaching it?
I would love to give you a rundown. So as you mentioned, I'm helping entrepreneurs basically escape their time for money trap by exponentially scaling their business through online courses. It is a rapidly growing industry at the moment. And I found myself in this space kind of by chance and by will. Way back in the day, I used to be a school teacher. So I used to teach in high school and absolutely loved that job. Then got an opportunity to go work for a tech startup in the social media space. And I did that. So I quit teaching, did that for 2 years. So then I learned like marketing and social media and just like that online startup entrepreneurial kind of phase. And then met my girlfriend in Bali about a year and a half ago. And she was an incredibly successful business coach. So I left that job, the social media tech job, and went and helped run the operations and marketing of her business. Found out that I could help her develop the courses and programs and the products that we were selling, and have never looked back. So now I've just combined my education, combined the marketing and social media, and of course the like the business development and the online course space. And that's how I got here.
Right. Well, that Yeah, it sounds like a perfect combination, your teaching backgrounds and marketing side of things. Do you think anybody can start an online course even without a teaching background, or would they need to follow a course or first teach maybe live classes before starting out online or creating a course?
I think anyone can create an online course because we each have our own unique set of gifts, right? We have our own talents, we have our own skills, we have our own experiences, and we are able to teach that to others. Now, you don't have to have formal teacher qualifications to be able to deliver an online course. You just need to have a skill set or knowledge that someone else doesn't, and they are going to be looking up to you for that. You probably don't even realize it, or the listeners don't even realize, but people ask you for advice all the time. They might say, hey, can you help me with my website? Do you know how to do this? Link on the button. Or they might say, maybe it's like mending for sewing. You're like, oh, can you help me put the button back on my shirt? Like, each of those is a skill set that other people don't. And what online courses does, it's really kind of creating a platform for you to be able to monetize a skill set that you have that you can help give someone a solution or a transformation.
Right. Okay, so you can basically teach anything and anybody can do this. And the topics are endless. So who inspired you to start doing this? Where did you first see that gave you the idea to start doing this? Is this somebody that you're following or that's inspiring you?
To go into this space, to start this company.
Right.
Yeah. I guess I saw it in the coaching industry first and foremost. You know, I saw coaches getting completely burned out because they're stuck doing one-on-one calls. They have no more time in the day. They can't grow their business any further than what they're doing with their calls, right? Because they're only enough hours in a day. So what's another product that they could sell or produce that they could use to add revenue into their business? So online courses serves perfectly for that, especially in the coaching consulting space and in the services industry in general. You know, the same goes for agencies and consultancies, whereby, you know, there's enough, they can only do a certain number of done for you projects. We can only build a certain number of websites. We either hire more people, which is expensive, or we create a course or a program that we don't need to put another, you know, bum on a seat in the business. We can just scale that product and grow the business that way.
Yeah. What lessons did you learn you wish you would have applied earlier into building your business? Are there any lessons that you learned during the way?
Yeah, I say I probably would have scaled my team earlier. You know, I would have got more people on board. I waited probably too long trying to do too much on my own. I think as soon as I got more people in the company, then I was able to grow much quicker. And so I wish I had known that lesson as well. And I guess that's honestly probably been the biggest one so far. It's just getting some more help and not feeling like I have to do everything in the company.
Right. And creating an online course can sometimes seem so overwhelming because there are so many things involved, setting up the systems, recording, and so on. What are some of the tasks that you that somebody might outsource or hire employees for?
Yeah, so there's two different versions, right? So if you are creating online courses and you're selling those courses, the most of that you can do on your own, right? You don't really need a team, especially if you're just starting out. You just do the fundamentals, the basics. Mm-hmm. You know, work out who your ideal client is, work out what problem they have, package that up into a course and sell that course to your ideal client. And it just needs to be simple videos. You know, you don't need any complicated sales funnels, marketing campaigns, any crazy sequences. You know, if you just launch your first course, you know, sell it for, I don't know, $500. If you just sell 10 of those to 10 people that you know, that's $5,000 there right. that will kind of allow you to grow to your next course, right? And spend some more time getting a bigger, getting maybe a copywriter or getting someone that's going to help build a landing page. But the tools that I use predominantly with clients, like the main platform that most of our projects go through is called Thinkific, Thinkific. Right. It is a course hosting platform. And they basically take away all of the like the technical tools, software. Yeah, you upload it to their site. You know, you can create a sales page on there. It's got all the modules and lessons. You know, you don't need to have a big suite of complicated tools. I mean, it just kind of, it's all in one one app, one tool. There are a few others out there, but I've definitely found Thinkific to be the most robust and the one that I have found most successful so far.
Right, right. Yeah, especially nowadays, there's so many tools. In the beginning, I believe it was quite difficult. Do you remember something from when you were just started out? Were all these tools around, or was it really difficult?
It was super difficult because what you had to do, you had two options. One, you could use Facebook groups and social media, which you're competing with a timeline. You know, your modules and content couldn't be sent out too effectively. It was just really difficult to keep track of your students and things like that, and engagement rates are super low. The other option was you used a plugin on your WordPress site. You know, you kind of built it yourself, and that required a certain level of developer skill set. Like you had to actually, you know, build out these posts and pages, and that was really complicated for people. So there wasn't a lot of choice, and most of the courses that got built were really ineffective at teaching people. And what ended up happening, instead of doing, you know, gradual modules and lessons and things like that, people would just essentially create a page. You know, they would build up a page on their site, lock it off with some kind of membership or password, and they would sell the membership. You know? They would sell access to the course, and it was just they would log into a particular page, and it would just have all of these lessons and modules there, which we know that that's pretty overwhelming for a student to face if you want to take them through a course. And so those were the rough days. Those were difficult. Now it's so much smoother and just welcoming, and people kind of have a greater sense of how to approach online course creation.
Are there any platforms that you recommend using? Because these days you have Udemy, Teachable. There are so many out there. Are there any recommendations that you have when you're just starting out?
Yeah, when you're just starting out, or even if you're one of the most successful course creators on the planet, I would stay away from Udemy. You know, I think Udemy isn't the best option, and I'll tell you why. Okay. Udemy is a course marketplace, which means you can put your course up there, and Udemy will sell it for you. You know, there is a whole host of courses that you can buy. You can search courses, and someone will find your course, you know, if you write the title and the links and that correctly. Now, that's the positive of Udemy, right? If you don't have a list or an audience to sell it to, put it on Udemy and they will sell it for you. Now, the drawback to that is two things. One, you can't set the price of your course on Udemy. Even if you list it as $200, it is likely that Udemy is going to put that course on sale for $9.99, and you don't get, you know, the $200. You get a fraction of the $9.99. And so there's no way for you to, like, as a business, it's not your projected revenue in your company. It goes completely out the window. How can you rely on that as a stream of income and, you know, budget for anything if you just don't know what it's going to get you paid in return? And second of all, you can't keep your email list, right? So Udemy keeps all the emails of your participants, so you can't kind of email them and take them off to the off the platform, upsell them into another tool. So while on the initial side, it looks like a really low-hanging fruit. It's great to go up there, put your course on Udemy, and you'll sell it, and you know, you'll get some sales. Think bigger, think long-term, right? If you're going into the course creation process, you're far better creating the course on your own, right? Using something like Thinkific, or you mentioned Teachable, there's Kajabi is another one. Creating the course on your own and selling it in a small circle, you know, 5 to 10 sales, you know, sell it for like $200 to $500, just a really entry level course. And you can make, that's your like $2,500 to $5,000 from 10 people, as opposed to going on Udemy. You would have to sell 100 of those courses at $10 to come to like, it's just, the math is like completely different. So yeah, and that way, if you sell it there, you will get the testimonials, right? And you can use those testimonials to sell the course the next time. And then those people will tell their friends, you know, about your course, and the system grows from there.
Right, right. And do you recommend starting with a smaller course first, or immediately make a master course that people can sign up for? What would be your recommendation?
I would start with what's like the MVP model, so the minimum viable product, or in the course creation world, we call it the MVC, minimum viable course, which just means what is the smallest course that you could produce that is going to help your ideal client overcome their problem. So what is the bare minimum that you can put in there for it to be effective and for it to be valuable for them? And that's where I would start. You know, I wouldn't get distracted by shiny object syndrome. I wouldn't try and pour your life's work into there. I wouldn't try and make it the biggest course with all these bonuses and just this crazy thing that you see other course creators doing. There is a method to those big course creators. The reason why they have bonuses and have it jam-packed and full of all that thing, that is their methodology from the business they built up to that point. But just starting out, their course looked nothing like that. Their course was very small, was really to the point, just helped with one particular thing. And as they grew over the years, they added on extra modules, extra lessons, did other courses, combined the courses, added different bonuses, and they kind of scaled up. So I would say get the minimum viable product that you can out to the market, sell that so that you've got revenue coming in so that you can spend more time then improving it, scaling it, relaunching it again next time.
Okay, so start out small and potentially try out new ideas, because let's say I'm starting a small course in how to DM people on Instagram, for example. And and let's say this course, after a month, I see no sales. Should I just, as a course creator, should you just continue to market this course, or would you look for another idea to test out? How long would you continue test an online course?
Yeah, so if it's been a month and no one's bought the product off you, there's two things going wrong here. One, it's either the offer is wrong, or two, you've got your audience wrong. So if you have done the research and you know exactly what your audience wants, and you have listened to them, you understand their pain points, you know exactly how to speak to them, and you know what they really need help with, what they're trying to overcome. So that's the first part, so the research. Then if you've created a product that does that, if your offer actually does what it says it does, helps them overcome it, then there should be no reason why your audience would not buy that product. And just logical, right? Makes sense. If you have the research and you have the solution, then there's very little variance or variables that could go into that that would kind of stop your audience, other than excessive price or a complete, you know, lack of like credibility or whatever it might be. But there's really no reason. So then I would go back to more research. I would find out like why they aren't buying it. I would get people on a call. I would go to your ideal client, say, I have a course. I would love to get some feedback on it. Would you mind jumping on a 10-minute call so I can ask you some questions? In exchange, I'll give you, you know, free access to the course. You don't need to pick a couple of people just to like, just say, like, I just want to ask some questions about it to make sure I'm on the right track. And you probably know these people already, you know, knowing how social media is, you're probably connected to them somewhere along the line. They're in the same groups, they're in the same network. So it's not like a reaching out to a complete stranger. There's got to be some connection there, but yeah, that's where I would start. And I'd just work out, I would ask your ideal client why the other people like them, you know, wouldn't be buying your course. And they'll tell you, they'll be like, you know what? Yeah, it's just not something that I need. And you say, well, why not? And they'll give you the real reason that they're having their problem. And then you're like, oh, So that's what I need to write the course on. So Instagram DM, right? Haven't been doing it. You're asking people like, why aren't you doing it? And because they say, all of my mentors and coaches and all the other things are telling me that automation or direct messaging is bad, you know, and I don't want to ruin my credibility. Right. And so what you go from that research, you think, oh, okay, that's really interesting. What if I address that at the very top of the sales page?
Right.
You know, and just called that out at the beginning and said, you know, cold direct messaging or cold messaging is like rude or something, or is the worst tactic that you can use. Let me show you an alternative, right? And just re-spin it. Like, just say, like, this isn't cold messaging. This is relationship building. I don't know. I've just completely made that up. But do you understand the flip there?
That's the
basis of the research in the audience, and then making sure you've got the product that's going to give them what they want.
Yeah. So, yeah, doing a lot of research, talking to people, inviting them into your course, and yeah, in the beginning, maybe even for free, that to get feedback. Yeah. Well, that's, yeah, I think also a really good way to validate your course. Is that how you started out, by offering your course for free in return for feedback? Or is that something that came along the way?
Yeah, so when I coach my clients when they're launching their courses, I wouldn't suggest getting them in for free when they're selling it. The only reason I mentioned free was because in the scenario, you said we haven't sold any courses after a month. And I'm like, that's pretty critical, right? So,
right.
But generally, if you're doing a launch and you kind of want to just start off and get some validation or whatever, by the time that, this is what I teach, right? By the time you go to build your course, you should already know that people are going to buy your course. So unless you have the signals, unless you know that your ideal clients and a whole list of them are ready and interested and want to buy your course, don't build it. You know, make sure that you have that feedback. You've got a list going. You've got people commenting on it. You've got people asking you about it. You've got just interest in the posts and the content you put out on the topic. Like, pull together a whole big pile of evidence before you go and build it. Because, you know, the worst thing in the world is to build a course and no one buy it. Like, there's nothing more gut-wrenching than that. And it just, all that hard work, all that effort or money or time or resources spent on trying to build that, and no one buys it. And it was broken at the very beginning, right? Mm. It was doomed from the start. If we'd just done some research and asked the audience if it's what they want, then we wouldn't have come to this point. So I wanted to just quickly touch on the launch process that I use with clients, and it's a beta launch process. So we don't offer it for free, but we do offer a heavily discounted price on the course. So hypothetically, you would sell your course for $200. What we would do, we would say, like, hey, this course is going to be $997. I am inviting a list of 10 of you, like there is just a group, an inner circle VIP group of 10 of you, to come on and trial this course for the first time. At a fraction of the cost, like 80% off. So it'll be $200. And all I'm asking in return is you give me some feedback and a testimonial once you've done it, right? Mm. And that gets paying customers in, and it also gets people doing your course, and it gets you testimonials, so that when you go to sell your course, you've actually got testimonials from the people who did your course. And then you can use that great feedback to go out and and sell it again at a much higher price point.
Mm. Yeah, that's a good tip. And are testimonials really important while promoting your course?
Absolutely. They're like the biggest thing that will kind of, other than your marketing, your copy, you know, how you speak to your ideal client, testimonials will be the driving force behind your sales. People want to see other people succeeding in your course. They want to see results of other real people. And they want to know that you're credible. They want to know that you can actually help them with the problem. And the only way they can do that is, you can say all you want. You can tell people as much as you like how good you are and how all the success you've had and all of the money that you've made, but it doesn't matter, right? Because unless they see someone else saying that on your behalf, it doesn't matter what you say. So putting those testimonials in there to sell the course, putting them on the sales page, making sure you have an image of their face next to the testimonial, because if you put a testimonial on your sales page without an image, it actually detracts buyers. It deters them and you lose conversion rates. So don't put a testimonial without a photo. And you'll see that that will kind of give that extra push, that extra little burst of credibility to sell the course.
And yeah, when creating a course, what kind of places would you recommend for finding inspirations on the different topics that you would create your course? Do you have any place that you visit, or how do you find the inspiration?
Yeah, so most of the clients that I work with to help them create courses already have well-established businesses. So they already know their clients and they know who they're serving. If you don't have a business already and you want to get into online courses, then have a think about the person that you want to help and then find where they hang out online. So if you want to help if you want to help web developers, right? They would be hiding out on Reddit. They'd be hiding out on Stack Overflow. They'd be hiding out maybe on like Hacker News, like all these places online, right? Super like tech startup-y kind of spaces. So go there and find out what problems they're having. You know, what are they complaining about? What are they struggling with? What do they want help with? Go into groups online, whether it's Facebook groups or communities online, and just talk with your ideal client. You know, work out what problems they're having, work out what they're struggling with. That's the only way that you're going to be able to find a topic, because there's no use in you picking a topic that you're like, oh yeah, I really like this topic, then thinking, I wonder who I'll sell this to. Like, that's not profitability. That's not how you're going to grow a business or sell online courses. First, find someone to help and then build a course that will help them.
So what can we expect from you in the future? What are your future plans for the online course creating business?
So this year, we'll continue scaling the agency. So one part of my business is an agency, and we do complete done-for-you services. We build entire courses. So I have a marketing team. You know, we have designers, developers, copywriters, tech support. So I have that whole team running. So I want to scale that and kind of do more of those builds. I'm currently filling out my private one-on-one clients. So I have a few more spots left, and I'll keep working one-on-one with people throughout the year, just kind of taking them from idea, you know, helping them get out of that trap, like I said, from that time for money trap, getting them their business into a scalable, profitable state using online courses. Then later on in the year, we'll be doing some group programs, getting people involved in like a cohort of course creators, maybe doing some collaborations between them. And then leading up to the end of the year, we'll probably look at partnering with some of the bigger course creator companies like Thinkific and things like that, and doing some live events over in the US, just workshop days to help people map out their course ideas, bit of fun, bit of they can implement, and take their course creation career off with a bang.
Well, Paul, I really want to thank you very much for sharing your value on how to build an online course. I really enjoyed talking to you. And where can we find more information about you? Where can people follow you from? What's the best place?
Yeah. First of all, thank you so much for having me. Again, I really appreciated the invitation. So it was a lot of fun chatting, and I'm glad I was able to kind of help your listeners kind of get a leg up and start in online courses. You can find me anywhere online if you search The Paul Thompson. So T-H-E, Paul, T-H-O-M-S-O-N. If you put that into any social media platform or just into Google, you'll find my website, my social media pages pop up. And, you know, online course creation can be daunting. You know, the thought of putting all those videos together, all of that knowledge, like what do you actually do? How do you sell it? Is anyone going to buy it? There's a lot of questions there. So if anyone has any questions, just message me. You will be surprised at how many hours a day I still spend. You know, as much as I have going on, that's my one thing. I always just reply to messages, whether it's on Instagram or Messenger. And I'm still holding on to that for as long as I can. It's like one of my business goals is just to be able to still in-person reply to as many people as I can. So yeah, reach out, ask me questions, and I'd love to be able to help.
Well, we will make sure to share this in the show notes. Well, thank you so much, Paul. It's been a pleasure talking to you. Thank you so much. Hey guys, I hope you enjoyed this podcast with Paul Thompson as much as we enjoyed creating it. You can find more information about Paul in the show notes. Also, I'm planning soon to start my own online course, and I think Paul really gave us some valuable insights on how to start. Just start out small and get real feedback from a small bunch of people and build on that. Well, I will keep you posted when my course will be available for you to try out. Now I have two announcements, and one is that I will be speaking at WordCamp Rotterdam in April. So really thrilled for that. And the other announcement is that I'm starting another podcast. That's right. I'll be starting a new podcast for the Miami Guide. So I will keep you posted when that is launched later this month. If you haven't subscribed to this show yet, please take out your phone right now and subscribe to the Creative Insights podcast so that you don't have to miss another show. All of the episodes are also available on my website, mikereinhardt.com. Well, I would love to hear your feedback about the episodes, and I appreciate if you would leave me a review on iTunes. I have more episodes coming up and brewing with ideas, stories and content that I can't wait to share with you. Once again, my name is Mike Reinhardt. I'm here to help you become more effective online and grow your business. You can follow me online everywhere as Mike Reinhardt on Instagram and all the other major social media platforms. Thanks again. See you in the next episode.